Married to Who?
Podcast.
Welcome to Married to Who, a podcast where a couple of couples watch Doctor Who for the very first time. My name is Jake. With me are most of those couples, Cody, Sam, and Alex. Jill's not here today. She's celebrating our new holiday, Victory Day. So she could be a part of this. Terry is also here. This week, we're here to talk... Did I already do that part? No. This week, we're here to talk about Lucky Day, written by Pete McTighe, or McTeague. I've heard it say both ways. Directed by Peter Hoare. Aired the 3rd of May, 2025. Before we get into our thoughts, it is time for everybody's favorite podcast segment, Cody's 25-second plot synopsis. Anywhere I get to go.
We don't even have the doctor when we start out. We're just jumping over to Ruby, and Ruby's living her life. And then they got, well, okay, maybe there's a little bit of doctor, a little bit of snot. And then we learn that this monster's chasing everybody down unless you have the antidote. Well, zoom back, and then there's this dude who was scorned as a young boy turned evil. And then Ruby finds him, is like, you've got the poison too. Here's an antidote. And he's like, oh, okay, yes, I'll take the antidote. And then... they all go on a date and adventure for a long time.
Time. And then they... Stop talking. Pretty good.
I really need to just a word per scene.
No, that's everything that happened. don't need any more. Hey, Terry.
Hey, what?
What'd you think of this one?
I enjoyed it a lot. Sorry. I really enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Leaving all of it. Especially because you slapped yourself and then the microphone was still ringing when you decided, when you like did your second take. So we couldn't use that either because your microphone's vibrating. Alex, same question.
I loved to hate this one, and it wasn't as good as last week, so they finally plateaued. We were on a rocket ship, now we plateaued. it was good. It had moments, and damn, they wrote a hateable character, like, so good.
A hateable returning character, presumably.
Wait, Cody. Does he think Alex is talking about Ruby? This was the first New Who episode that I really threatened to fall asleep on.
That's it's not also true. Like, it's also like summer and we've been
You're
really
just
tired.
Exhausted.
Yeah.
You've actually fallen asleep to New Who.
Have I?
I thought I for sure. I refuse to believe you haven't.
New Who has been going on since 2005.
Yeah, early podcast, for sure you're falling asleep.
Oh, okay, well, this season of New Who. I don't know why. It seemed like it had the elements of something pretty interesting, but I just...
It did.
God, I didn't care for the monster at all. The monster was kind of a joke, but the monster was truly the human all along.
It always is.
Isn't it always? Sam?
This was proper spooky. There's even a jump scene. I don't like horror, but this was a lot of fun.
Are you talking about the bite?
No, when they like opened the door that he's in and it's just like absolutely nothing there and then slam against the window. Just zero expectation. Well, you expected it, which is why it wasn't terrifying.
I don't
to the point where
it
I would shut it off. But,
what did you watch? Oh.
Did you watch Doctor Who?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who Do you are,
what,
not
what
remember
scene
that
about?
Scene? Okay.
Who got slammed?
Kate opens the window thingy, making sure that the thing is still there, absolutely nothing. And then just like he, jump scare. Like,
yeah.
You said he, like the main dude.
You just used he pronouns over and over again.
Yeah, the monster.
The monster.
A he. All bad things are he's.
How dare you gender the monster?
All bad things.
Jake, did you like this one?
Well, let me tell you. Yeah, I enjoyed it the first time quite a bit. I wasn't like super jazzed to watch it a second time. It kind of hinges on the reveal. And once that happens, it's just like a bummer because it's like a little too real. I was so excited in the first half because I know Pete McTighe, like he, besides doing, like he did Kerblam and the one with all the plastic in the birds. I can't remember the name of that one. Praxeus.
Oh, that's yeah, a good yeah. One.
And but besides that, he's written, whenever there's like a Blu-ray coming out of Classic Who, he writes these little like 5-minute scenes with the classic characters like pushed forward with their current act, like their current selves playing the actor or the character still. And those are great. And so it's like he, you know that he loves like those 70s Doctor Who's. And so to get like a small village in Wales and there's a monster invading and we're getting UNIT involved, I was like, oh yes, here we go. We're going back to like the 70s style and storytelling. And then it's just like, nah, psych, we're not going to do that. We're going to go hang out at UNIT Tower for the rest of the episode. It's like, ah, fine.
Which is just like a rebranding of the Avengers Tower, right?
Very much so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like our 11th time seeing the tower, dude. Come on.
I know, and I say it every time. It's like, damn, they just, like, they must have had the same graphics team or something. I don't know.
Well, now they're using this for, like, the third backdoor pilot to the spinoff that we're getting probably next year. And Pete McTighe is, like, the other main writer for it besides RTD. So it's should have been obvious that this is the way we were going. Got to get all, but they could have had the whole UNIT team in the village, have just actually do the monster, but they wanted to tell a story about this guy, what he's up to, and clearly we see at the end Mrs. Flood went and got him, and he's going to be in the finale.
Which, man, goddamn, that guy,
they did such a good job.
I called
of
him
like
a creep from the very beginning.
Yeah, well, I thought those two together were super cute, and like this was really cool to watch.
I called him a predator because they have like a huge age gap, and it was weird.
Oh, the age gap, yeah.
I thought he was going to be weird and like over-possessive or like hate the doctor at some point, and like I thought it was going to be that kind of turn. I did not see this whole like media streamer gotcha prank. Like, Jesus.
Just circling back.
Before you move on, Terry, I never even thought about like their age difference. How old did you say he is
35.
When they see him on New Year's?
Well, no,
in 2007.
25.
So if he's 8, then he's 26 in 2005, and Millie's 20.
Oh,
or Rudy.
I thought that it was. Okay, I was 10 years off. Okay, I thought he was 10 years older.
All right, sorry, Terry, go ahead.
No, I was circling back to that conversation. So yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about.
But still, like, you're 26, 27. 20-year-old's like a 7-year-old. Like, they're morons. You don't need to be dating them. And that's what he says. He's like, God, having to listen to you play the piano, getting lip gloss all over everything. He just, like, treats her like an infant. Hilarious. I take it back. I love the guy now.
I really enjoyed Ruby's fit, though. She had like some sort of pinstripe going at all times. It was sick.
She reminded me a lot of Tennant's Doctor with her.
Yeah. Yeah. I had that same thought.
Well, she always does like those waist cutoffs. I've heard like really tall, skinny people wear clothes like that to like give themselves a waist, but she doesn't need to do that. But that's her style in all Doctor Who.
It's
nice. I did notice, Terry, you got to help me out here. When they show up to the small village for their little weekend getaway, they're both wearing double zip-ups with collars. Like, they both have a sweater on with a zip-up, and then they both have a jacket over it with a zip. and it infuriated me.
What's wrong with that? I do that all winter.
Double zip?
Well, like, I mean, yeah, I don't like pullovers.
Who designed the monster that spits boogers on you and that makes them hunt you forever?
Who thought of the idea? Pete McTighe.
Pete McTighe sucks.
That was great.
Don't let
it.
Him make monsters anymore.
You didn't like that?
No, that's amazing. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Which
it's Tim Shaw. It's the Predator. It's a well-known sci-fi trope.
The where it spits goo on you?
Well, you know, marks you, like hunters that mark you for their trophy and yeah, in whatever way. This one uses
pheromones. It's D&D too.
Yeah. Maybe like the end of the show was like what really crushed the monster for me when Ruby just walked over and tased it and it was just done.
True.
Hey, it still bit the guy.
Yeah, and if you got tased, you'd be done too. What do you
trophy
want?
Obtained.
I love that
and we
it
get
bit
hashtag
him.
Hot taser girl.
Yeah. I was a little sad though after the whole biting incident that all his arm was just like stuck together again with metal, and it didn't look like any part of the rest of the arm was mangled from that bite.
That's because we can't vilify Kate. So like Kate made this happen and was like, oh, the doctor can't, he would be so mad if he saw me do this. If the guy got really seriously hurt or like lost an arm, then you would make Kate like too much of a bad guy.
No, bro, Kate was justified. Kate was justified to flay this man alive.
He insulted her dad. Everyone was rooting for her to turn.
Hey, her dad blew up the Silurian base even though they agreed to go to sleep for 1,000 years.
That's right. Never mind. But
actually,
oh, sorry. There was also a shot, too, that had Kate in the background, and then Ruby like went and stood in front of her, and it almost looked like some sort of odd motif of like seeing into the future of like Ruby would then be in charge of UNIT someday, of like taking the place of Kate. I don't know if anyone else got that.
It'd be nice if we got Millie in the spinoff show.
Ah, the 9 o'clock train is here.
I didn't think it would come because there was an 8:30 train.
They coordinated.
Or like 8:20. But I've heard some people say in a different podcast that Millie didn't work as a companion, but they like her in these standalone episodes. Like she's just clearly like the should be number one in the call sheet. She's the star. And when you put her in the background behind a big, strong actor like Shooty, she kind of doesn't. Like, she's not good at, like, that second banana roll.
Huh?
You should have not talked that entire time.
There's a noise encompassing, like, around your voice.
I'll do it again.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I gotta fucking wait now.
I could be totally off base on this, and it could just be what's happening in America right now, but I feel like this could be related to anti-vax, like all the naysayers of the government is telling us all of these things and they're wrong, just show us the truth. And then he gets bit by the monster and it's like getting measles and they're like, oh no, measles.
That's not the truth.
And then like he gets back up, he's like, just kidding, you're a lie, the measles are a lie, vaccines are fake.
Nice special effects.
It's more like a symptom of that. Like these people like Alex Jones or even like on TikTok now, there's guys like the older millennial that go on, have hundreds of thousands of followers and go on every day knowing that they're lying and just post bullshit that people that want that to be the case just eat up.
100%.
And then there's also like this subcategory of people replying to those videos saying, clearly you're lying, here's the proof. And then they get 100, and it's just like this self-eating snake that is all just all these people making tons of money on social media by just driving anger and hatred. And that's, it all comes, like, it seems like it started getting really big around, like, the anti-vax and the anti-intellectualism period that we're living in.
COVID hit it hard.
But yeah, I mean, it's been going forever, like fucking Rush Limbaugh and talk radio and
yeah. But now our state is at So the school system should be, or the population should be at 95% vaccination rates to keep people safe. We are dramatically dropping. Like, we're at between 90 and 92%, I think, now.
RFK exists and holds a very powerful seat in the United States.
It's all right. By September, he's going to figure out what autism is and how it's caused, and we're going to be fine.
Yeah, no more autism. It's over.
Hell yeah. Love that for us.
Okay, we're going to erase all that. Yep. I'm going to say. So there's this podcast I was listening to that said that Millie is like better in these episodes without the doctor because she is just like a star and like first on the call sheet. And when she's with an actor like Shudi, who's kind of like big, that she doesn't really work very well as a number two. And I think we've all agreed already that we kind of like Belinda a little more. So maybe that's why, because I, with 73 yards and this, I would love to see more Millie, and we're not really going to see a ton.
Yeah, I really liked her in this episode. I think I liked her before.
I think you kind of have to like her in this episode. She was the episode.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't have to like the episode.
No, you would.
Also, we got absolutely zero doctor, which...
There was a tiny bit of doctor.
There were bookend doctors. There was a
scene at the beginning and the end.
Were they shot previously?
I think they were like flashback from the previous episodes.
No, yeah. they were shooting this like, oh, yeah. But I mean, they were shooting this like at the same time as the first episode, the Robot Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
So they can only get them in the TARDIS and in that fake London set.
Yeah, oh, because the doctor teleports the TARDIS on top of... the absolute asshole guy, and then they have a discussion. They have a little masculine standoff.
I totally forgot about that scene.
He was a little spicy doctor in that one.
Very spicy. Yeah, you should go back and rewatch that scene, Sam. It's a lot of people I've been listening to are saying that's their favorite scene of the episode, and kind of makes it for them.
That scene was outstanding. That's like, sad, though. You could see it in the doctor's face where he's like, "You're unsavable," and just leaves.
Oh, yeah, he tells him when and how he's going to die.
Right?
It's like, fuck you. But we do learn the mystery of who gave the doctor the name of Belinda Chandra.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it was this prick. So this guy meets Belinda when he's a little boy, meets the doctor when he's in his 20s, and says, have you ever met Belinda yet? So getting that name, he goes and finds Belinda. And then eventually travels back in time and meets this boy. So it's yet another like self-sustaining paradox that RTD has made this year. Wondering if that's going to factor into the overall story arch that we're getting. Story arc.
I'm curious as how this fits into the alternate universe theory.
I'm curious as to how this fits into all the old episodes we watched.
I'm curious how this fits into...
Because we're getting gods.
We are getting gods. I want more gods. I want better gods. Mr. Ring-a-Ding didn't do it for me. Didn't tickle that itch.
Mr. Ring-a-Ding. Oh,
so we are continuing...
We need a soundboard. Mimicking... If anyone says that, you have to play the song. We have to listen What's to that? The whole thing.
Oh, oh shit.
Don't make I'll me laugh. I'll put it in here.
We're continuing... replicating the first season in like our story form, you know, first episodes, meeting the new companion, going on a kind of childish adventure, and then the second one, meeting one of the gods, and who's kind of like the B god before we meet the A god at the end. The third one, kind of revisiting the stories of RTD's first go around in like 2006, 2007, those story types. And then in the fourth one, we get a Dr. Light episode where Millie, or where Ruby Sunday, goes into a small Welsh village and has an adventure. And then there's a guy who's using politics for financial gain and fear mongering. I wonder what next week will be.
Well, what's the matchup of last season?
Yeah, Terry, what was episode 5 last year?
Oh, let me look it up.
Yeah, you can just do that. You don't have to say it.
Oh, okay.
I do know next week is a Nigerian episode written by a Nigerian woman. It's called The Story and the Engine. Hmm. That's everything I know.
Hmm.
I'm trying to remember what I saw in the recap.
Is this where we speculate about what happens in next?
Oh, there's a cave.
We might as well. There's no Jill here. We got to waste more time.
Definitely a quarry.
We are definitely much more concise without Jill here.
Episode 5 of last season was Dot and Bubble.
Yes. So it's going to be the good one.
Oh, no.
Why do we need to have Dr. Light episodes? Wouldn't we have an 8-episode season?
I don't know. Shuddy needs a
vacation, too.
No, he doesn't.
He took the day off. He's busy doing sex education.
No, you gotta make 2 episodes at the same time. That's why.
That's why there were 2 Dr. Light episodes last season, is because he still had commitments to sex education. That does not say why we needed to have one this year.
It was written into his contract.
He got used to the time off.
He was feeling a bit under the weather.
Bad show management? I don't know.
Yeah?
I liked it.
They wanted to get Millie into the middle of the season because they want to use her for the end of the season.
I suppose.
I thought it was worth it. Great episode.
Until like we got the snippet at the end of the previous episode, Lux. I didn't think we'd see Ruby ever again. Don't see why.
You should listen to our podcast where it was brought up many, many times.
The funny thing is, Cody does listen to our podcast.
Sometimes I think Jake speaks in hyperbole. Like, I bet it's mentioned very slightly once during trivia or something.
And our last episode was The Well.
The Well. Okay.
You're welcome.
So the last one I listened to was the
Lux. No, the last one we recorded was Lux. It just hasn't come out yet.
Yeah, but I'm assuming The Well will come out before this one.
Other way around. The last episode we recorded was The Well. It hasn't come out yet. I'm only like 5 minutes in. I went to the lake this weekend.
Oh, okay. That sounds like fun.
It was.
How cold was the water?
So cold. And we had to get in and put the docks and the boat launches in. It was...
Yikes.
Absolutely freezing.
Yeah, we don't get in until Memorial Day.
Oh, we were the only people on the whole fucking lake
doing
it. Yeah,
that makes sense.
It's just rows and rows of people with their boat launches up on the beach.
Yeah, but you guys beat them all.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, it's going to be 80 degrees on Saturday. Nope, it was 64 when I got there.
I don't know. I felt so bad for Ruby this episode, though, because they mentioned how she talked about the doctor every single day. And now she was finally moving on from things. And imagine the trauma of dating someone that you really, really liked and it was all fake and they actually hate you.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, it's a tough look.
That's a level of acting only an actor can do.
I mean, he did it with Donna. He's redoing, RTD's doing the same things.
Also, what kind of trash person wears, like, their own merchandise under their shirt? And
oh,
just,
podcasters.
Like, narcissists.
He was live streaming. You gotta have the merch on so that you can sell it.
That killed me.
Now that I'm saying it, the representation of podcast and popular media, we're really getting there. Like, podcasting's been around forever, yeah. But you never see references to podcasts in popular media. And now there's a whole Doctor Who episode.
Joe Rogan, I feel like, gets mentioned enough.
In, like, a movie or a TV show. A podcast.
How about... Well, that's a show. That's not a podcast.
Halloween 2018. Tusk.
I mean, do you count radio as podcast?
No. Radio's been around for...
It's essentially the same thing, and there's a whole... show Frasier about it.
Radio's
there's also WKRP in Cincinnati and news radio. We're not counting radio, but there is Twisters if you want to talk about like streaming culture.
Oh, Twisters would absolutely none of those movies that you listed I have actually seen, so it makes sense that this is so surprising to me. But so there's a couple of them out there, though.
A rom-com on Netflix, and one of the opening scenes was the Wings show that I now cannot think of.
The what?
Was it Wings?
The Wing Show?
Wings, where you eat hot wings and answer questions. Hot ones. And that was in a Netflix movie, which I thought was neat.
That was pretty clever. And Doctor Who is clearly doing, like, what I would say is the front of the line in including many different things.
Mm-hmm. There were some people, so you're always going to get people complaining Doctor Who's too woke, they're too political now, and then you get the defenders saying it's always been political, watch the 70s, you fucking moron. And now, even we're getting the Doctor Who's always been political going, you know, when RTD's first run through, he was like real subtle with it, and now he's just too on the nose, like, he wasn't subtle. Watch anything. You are making shit up.
I think things lighten as you get away from them.
But also, if you're watching something over 20 years, like, your sensibilities and what you notice changes.
Yeah. Like, you were a teenager, now you're 40.
Right. And now you care about those political things and actually have an opinion and then get mad when someone says something opposite of that.
Well, and you're going to notice...
Also, something... Sorry, go ahead.
Things that are happening right now, if they're talking about it right now, if they talk... If you watch that episode 20 years later, you're not going to remember exactly what they were referencing, typically.
What we should be talking about is how this was shot 2 years ago, and it's so on the nose today. It's crazy.
Yes, dude.
Well, two years ago wasn't very different from now. Although in the UK, they did still have a right-wing, far-right, not just conservative, but far-right government. That has changed.
Was this actually two years ago?
It was shot before the first season came out.
Yeah. So we were in the middle of Biden administration when this was shot.
Yeah. But again.
Yeah. Anyway.
Not an American show.
I know.
But I mean, nothing's changed. The things we talked about and complained about are all the same, regardless of who's in the White House at the point or in Parliament. So something we haven't really talked about, speaking of things being a little more on the nose, is the BBC has mandated to Russell and Bad Wolf that they want a younger audience. They want to increase the numbers in the 16 to 29 demographic. And with all the talk about ratings being down and it being a disaster and everything, those numbers have gone up. So from the perspective of the BBC, what they've asked the show to do for these two seasons has been successful.
Nice.
Wahoo. It's on Disney. I feel like that's an automatic, right?
Well, the only numbers we get is the UK numbers. So they don't get it on Disney there. Oh. They have to watch it on BBC. Because Disney doesn't give numbers, so we don't have anything to go by. Bob Iger did release a statement today saying, we really got to focus on getting more international TV shows, or international shows and movies, just international programming. Like, you mean like Doctor Who? Maybe you could renew that for season 3? Sorry, Bob Iger's the CEO of Disney.
Oh, thank you for clarifying that. I was curious.
Were you guys as excited as I was to see Trinity Wells back?
Are we talking about Lethbridge?
Nope.
Who's Trinity Wells?
That's a whole different name.
I bet.
Trinity Wells is the American newscaster when they're going through all the news shows, and there's like the black American lady that they showed first, who's like real mad.
Yeah.
So this is her 10th Doctor Who as that character. I brought it up again because she got brought back for the giggle. So we've talked about her fairly recently, but 2 years ago. but she was all over the first RTD era, just anytime they needed to cut to a bunch of news articles, which he loves doing. Sorry, not news articles, news broadcasts. They would always do one American show, and it was always her as Trinity Wells.
That's pretty good.
So this was Lachelle Carl is the actor's name. This is her 10th Doctor Who, but before the giggle, she hadn't been in since series 4 in 2009, or 2008. But she also did two episodes of Torchwood and two Sarah Jane Adventures as the same character.
Neat.
I would have never known. I cannot keep track of those characters. You need Mrs. Flood levels of reappearance.
Well, what do you guys think of Mrs. Flood's role in this episode? The governor of a prison.
Oh, that's weird terminology for us Americans.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that makes sense. I still don't understand her angle, and I just want it to come to a peak already.
Yeah, that's something we learned about Cody, is he hates mystery. He just wants the answer right now.
Well, how long is the mystery going to be perpetuated? It's
an
like
8-episode season.
Episode 7.
No, well, Mrs. Flood was all, we had the same lady all through the last season, too.
That was a different lady.
That was a different lady.
Mrs. Flood just showed up 3 times. First episode, somewhere in the middle, and then in the last one.
The lady we were seeing all the time was like this other old lady.
That wasn't Mrs. Flood?
No, it was the lady who is Sue. She was the harbinger for Sue Tech.
Oh, yeah.
Can't remember her name.
Oh, dang.
Well, Sue Tech, it was like Susan something, right? Yeah, it was Susan, because a lot of people were like, oh, that's Susan as in like the Time Lord.
But she showed up as a different person. She wasn't the same person showing up everywhere. She's just like scattered through time.
But it wasn't Mrs. Flood.
No.
That's the...
No.
Okay.
It was a different old white lady.
Yeah.
See, there's the thing. I can't keep old white ladies apart.
We talked about this in the last podcast we did, how they're repeating the things they did in the first season and included that as an example.
Okay, Jake.
I think Jake is on to something with, like, the simulation, though. Like, is this going to be, like, is she going to be, like, an AI of the program that's orchestrating everything for the doctor, and that's what's happening?
I mean, isn't she just going to be the big main god that we fight at the end?
Yeah, but it's not going to be a god. It's going to be something
technical
or something. Like, because it's all a simulation, is what I'm saying, is I think Jake's right.
I don't think Jake's right.
I don't think it's a simulation. I think it's an alternate universe.
It's an alternate universe put on by a fancy god. Who's god of the universe size?
And I say that, but I don't really believe it, and I kind of hope it's not true.
I think it's going to be AI. Because it seems... So the topics they've been choosing to tackle, they haven't touched AI yet. And I feel like it's probably coming.
Didn't they touch on AI with Al, or whatever his name is?
Yeah, you dumb bitch. They said it in the first episode.
Who's Al?
The Robot Revolution, the guy that's like running that planet, and we think it says AI generator, but it's Al generator.
That wasn't AI. That was just a dude.
But they touched on it.
Well, okay.
They said the word
foreshadowing
AI.
Then. Foreshadowing then. Like you introduced like the solution at the beginning, right?
Moffitt always does.
Or you just write the name on a wall somewhere in the beginning.
Oh my
god.
That's
our TV. Every single episode.
This episode, I hated it. She's like just handing off the poster. I'm like, lucky day. And she's like, oh, Jesus. No. I groaned very hard at that point.
Oh, you haven't lived until you've heard Terry's groans.
Ew. I don't want to hear those girls.
Yeah. This, you're the one saying this is a family podcast. We're going to keep it that way for...
Hey, I have not sworn a single time, probably.
Well, that's not true.
I think I told Alex to get fucked like 18 seconds ago.
Well, hey. Me. I haven't sworn.
No, you called him
hey,
a
Terry,
dumb bitch.
Hey, Terry, can we get a groan for the pod?
No.
So you gotta join the Patreon for the groan.
You gotta pay for that. That's a what do they tier?
That's where we keep Terry's grippers and groans.
What the fuck?
Intimate knowledge.
No, this is all internet speak. Which I learned a long time ago doesn't float around here.
Alex, what if Mrs. Flood is the person who runs the world of imagination, the master? and she's just been writing this whole thing.
I would be mad if it was if she was the master. I don't know why.
Not the master, the master.
Oh.
But in that episode, the second Doctor story where they're stuck in the land of imagination, that character is also called the master, but it's not the master.
Oh. I don't know.
It explained why every time we, or twice, we've seen her say, hey, this wasn't me. Like, something else is in here fucking shit up, and I'm just, like, doing my best. But it doesn't explain anything else she's ever done. So I don't actually think that's what it is. But I don't think she's one of the gods. I think she's maybe, in the end, going to help fight them. Maybe in, like, an evil way. Like, they're more, like, chaotic neutral.
So you think she's evil?
I don't think she's, well, she's but doing weird shit. Enough. Like,
or is she like a harbinger herself?
She could still be.
I doubt it.
She could still be.
I think she's more important than that.
Ramana. Like, there's still that.
I think she's got to be bigger than that.
Mm.
Like the Black Guardian or the White Guardian or.
The Shy Rani?
Huh? Celestial being.
The Shy Rani?
Nobody knows what Shy Rani is anymore, Alex.
I do.
We know what Shy Rani is. That's all that matters.
It's an SNL sketch from 2009.
And it has my future husband in it, so.
Shy Rani.
Andy Samberg?
Oh, yeah, I love him.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Rihanna.
She's my future husband.
Yeah.
I won't manage to get to 40 minutes without Jill. I'll have to cut out about 6 minutes of
all
bullshit.
Kinds of things. What else was in this episode?
We got tweets, right?
We have the same two people that have tweeted every week.
I'm glad that the pub was better than the last pub episode we had where they were...
that improv troupe?
Yes!
From 73 yards.
I hated it so much. I hated it.
This but in a way, they great. Were. Like, everybody was in on it and doing a big gag, except for, like, the owner and the lady who showed up with the dog.
Which, I love that he immediately started questioning what's her name?
Ruby?
Ruby, thank you. I kept thinking Rose. Just like, who put you in charge? She's like, fuck you, go outside then, I don't care.
Yes, that was... Such a good clap.
Go get some fresh air. See what happens.
Just lock the door after you.
Yeah, it's a scene like that, especially that line. It was kind of part of the fuel thinking like, God, Millie is really good. I just don't think she fit with Shooty in that first season.
Which is too bad.
Yeah.
And I really liked being at the unit place. It's fun.
It was really nice seeing all the unit people again.
They did a lot from that one room.
They got that giant fucking set. They
got
to use it.
Yeah, it's a... Well, I guess it is giant, but it...
Well, around the end of this year, beginning of next year, we're going to watch a whole goddamn season of something that takes place in that room.
I don't know if I need that. Unless you give us a tour of that monster room. That was fun.
It's exactly like the Torchwood monster room.
I do have a complaint about unit, though.
No, you don't.
No, I do. There's monster attack in a small town at a pub, and you bring a lady in a wheelchair?
She's a scientist.
She's going to die.
No, she has rocket launchers in her chair. You shut up.
Yeah. Ableist?
The ableism of this fucker.
So bad.
Although we do get, to further emphasize how big of a prick that dude is, we do get the comment of him saying that she's taking benefits because she's handicapped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As terrible as it was, he's such a bad person. Like, it just made sense to come out of his mouth.
Yeah.
I half expected him to have that, crazy tattoos under his shirt or something. Like, he just that whole character. Ugh.
Like Edward Norton in American History X, is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah. Very similar to our
Nazi tattoos?
Director of Defense.
See this? It means not welcome.
So, speaking, if he had tattoos under his shirt, I also love that his, like, Ruby's grandma was just, like, so hot for him. It's like, going through the profile, it's like, he even has his shirt off down here. It's like, oh my god.
There's nothing funnier than just randy grandmas.
Also, who is this Kate's boy man with a gun at unit?
Is that Sergeant Ibrahim?
Kirsten Ibrahim?
Colonel. First
Captain?
Right-hand man.
Colonel Ibrahim.
Colonel.
We were making our way up there.
Of course he has all the rank. That's
sexy boy toy.
Is that nepotism? Get it, Kate. No, not
that's all.
Yeah,
that,
no.
That's all the spinoff show is just hardcore sex scenes between those two.
Hey, they did
Disney
it with Jack.
After Dark.
Why not her?
Oh god, they still have that robot guy in the corner though.
No.
God, speaking of Jack, that dude doubled down again this week in an interview on like not apologizing for all the stuff that got him canceled by the BBC.
All right. Well, you can't
just say sorry. Get a job.
Yeah.
Also, he was on a Scottish talk show, and whenever he is, he talks in his Scottish accent, and it's super weird because he doesn't have a Scottish accent.
Hmm.
Oh, I'm going to have to look at that.
He was born in Scotland, and his parents have Scottish accents, but he moved to America when he was like 5 or something. And so but anytime he's on Scottish TV, he just does full Scottish accent. It's so weird.
It's like today I was trying to mock Cody and his Midwestern accent, and I couldn't do a deep Midwestern accent, even though that is our accent.
Sam's Midwest accent is hilarious. She goes straight Alabama.
Hit us with it.
Absolutely not. I got a little lost in there.
Repeat after me. Oh my goodness, how are you today?
Wait a minute.
It was real bad, I know.
It was up. Never do that again.
No, not at all. Delete.
Oh, Jesus, Terry.
Thank you. I like to talk at some point in my life.
That was halfway youper.
It was real bad.
Just put that on your soundboard, Jake, every time Terry introduces himself. Add that in there.
I'd have to get a soundboard.
Why you don't own a soundboard yet is baffling to me.
You guys want to do tweets?
I'll do a tweet.
I want to talk about my favorite scene, and this is all I have
can
left
you do
of this
it after
episode.
Tweets?
I mean, I can, but it's
so do it
weird.
After tweets.
All right,
we don't need tweets to be the end. It's supposed to be
it's
like a catalyst to more.
No,
maybe it relates.
Okay, Max Blake at Max Bloke says, I honestly had a lovely time. First watch, I was so bummed that Belinda and the Doctor were not the stars, but second watch, once I knew what I was getting into, I had a really good time with it. Thanks, Max.
I don't think it took me any amount of time to not, like, brain.
Easy.
Work it. Come on now. Boil it up.
I did not have a problem with Ruby being the star and the only star and not having the Doctor and the Companion here.
I was a little sad. I'm here for Shuti and Belinda.
I think we got 20 minutes in and I looked at Cody. I said, is this a Dr. Light episode?
No, Sam said it with disgust in her voice. Like she spit it out.
It took me a long time to realize he was not going to be in it, basically.
It's Doctor Who, not Ruby Road.
Ruby
I was listening to a different podcast, and they were talking about comparing this to Love and Monsters and how it didn't, like, the relationship between young Elton and Rose's mom, even though, like, they weren't maybe really going to, like, be physical with each other, was more believable than the relationship between these two. And I was thinking about it, and I think it's just because Camille Kaduri, who plays Rose's mom, is, like, super charismatic on screen. And I don't think either of these two people, together at least, are as, like, just easy to watch as she is.
When the mom and grandma are on scene, they chew that shit up. Also, who invited Love and Monsters back into our zeitgeist? Kick that out.
Next time I win the trivia, well, that's what we're watching.
Oh, no.
Was Louise the other gal with grandma and mom in the kitchen. Is that her second mom?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Wait, you guys didn't know that?
In my brain right now that that's who it was.
Some random white lady in her kitchen.
True. I thought it was like some random friend was like, oh my God, look who's here.
Do you remember the whole episode where she met her mom?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to pretend none of that happened. Over on Instagram, Holly Woodnot says, I don't know if I'm too positive because I loved this one too. Oh, I put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable there. I don't know if I'm too positive because I love this one too. There's a lot of criticism for its political messaging, but I think people are being over the top. There's also criticism for it being filler, but honestly, it was an ideal backdoor pilot. Helped move the season story along at the end, and it gave me one of my favorite 15th Doctor moments at the end. All around, just very good, and once again, got me excited for the rest of the season. We kind of already answered this, but sure, they go on. I'm interested to know how you guys feel about it being American. Does it resonate the same? We have a far-right movement over here that has gained traction recently in some local elections. Their elected officials are mostly Conrad-esque in their denial of facts and science. It's weird that it was written 2 years ago because it feels so targeted and relevant to this current environment. Well, yes, Holly, we do have a very similar situation happening here.
Extremely.
I'm so inside, obviously, of our culture. I did not realize this was an issue other places. I thought we were all just idiots here.
You thought Canada? They wrote a Doctor Who episode for America?
I thought we were all just maroons.
You ever heard of Brexit?
Yeah.
You know, a whole country of people voted for something that was nothing but bad for them.
The prime minister that didn't last longer than a head of lettuce?
Well, but then you also have Canada that just fought back from all of that. And everyone's like, holy shit, that would have been crazy. Like, it's out there everywhere.
Yeah. Managed to dump their prime minister for being a pussy, was going to be an easy conservative landslide. And somehow the liberals won again. Canada, you crazy.
Canada crazy.
Alex, you had something to say about something.
Yeah, so my favorite scene of this whole episode was their coffee date right after the podcast when they're in the coffee shop and she starts telling the story about like how the monsters hunt and the lights go dim and like it's revolving around their table. The way that was fucking shot was incredible. It gave me chills. It was so good.
You're
not alone in that sentiment. Forever. I've heard a lot of people say that.
It reminds me of this. I haven't watched it in a long time, but the Harry Potter scene where they talk about like the Brothers Grimm. It kind of reminds me
where they go through the book.
That
I was actually going to bring up. There's a Doctor Who episode where they take a break and do an animation very similar to that. We're kind of thinking of the same thing, but in different examples.
Also, the Deathly Hallows, not the Brothers Grimm.
Well, it's three brothers. They're not Grimm. They're Pavel.
I would believe it, but that's not ringing any bells.
That was terrible.
What? Terry just driving by on the motorcycle. That's terrible. He's just gone.
You're a bitch.
You suck.
No explanation, just God.
Hey, Cody.
Yeah.
Who's your MVP?
Conrad.
Who? Terry, what's his name? Conrad.
Jonah Howard King.
And what was the other thing you were supposed to look up?
I already told you. Dot and Bubble.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. I heard. That dude was the Prince Eric in the Little Mermaid live action?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Oh, I still haven't seen that. Huh. It takes a really... I think you got to be really solid to generate this level of sheer hatred. The writing is there, too.
He was saying in the behind the scenes, like, he gets so many of those Prince Eric-type roles because of his face. And so he's like, it was just so fun to get to play just a horrible person.
Oh, boo-hoo, yeah. I'm too attractive.
I'm so tall and handsome.
Whatever shall I do?
Hey, get it while you can, because it's not going to be forever.
Clooney's still alive. I mean, Wentz could
have
stopped.
He's not booking, is what I'm saying. Or at least it'll be different roles.
He's doing fine. He sold his tequila company for $1 billion.
You go from being Clint Eastwood, cowboy man, to being Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino or Turismo.
Angry old man.
The Gran Torino was 20 years ago. He made a movie 2 years ago called The Mule, where he has a threesome with two hot 20-year-olds.
No way.
It's look part like of money you can do
as like an 87-year-old man.
Jesus.
Sam, who's your MVP?
Whoever did like the imaging, you know, the scene that Alex was talking about? Whoever made that scene happen.
We'll go with Peter Hoare, the director, who's having a big month. He had two Doctor Who's and an episode of The Last of Us all came out in a 4-week period. He's crushing.
What episode did he do in Last of Us?
Season 2, episode 3 of The Last of Us.
That was a good one. I am watching it.
Ooh.
You are? Hey.
Hell yeah.
Why aren't we talking about it?
Finish the pod, then
we talk about it.
Okay, yeah.
Alex, who's your MVP?
Hoard up. It's the director. Great.
Terry?
Jonah.
Okay. I'm going with Millie. It's great to see her back. I think she did a very good job.
She's close second.
And let's give her some love. Quickly, I have in my hand Ken Jennings Trivia Almanac, 8,888 questions in 365 days. I will be playing as Jill today.
Boo.
I have not looked at the answers. Alex, do you want the category an arrow escape, not narrow, but arrow, or the category a barrel of monkeys?
Barrel of monkeys, John.
Okay, Alex, you will go first. Who first appeared in the 1939 children's book Cecily G. and the Nine Monkeys?
Like they're looking for a character?
I don't know. I purposely didn't look at the answers because I'm going to participate. Hold on, I got it now.
It is a character?
Yes.
What year?
I'll give you, it was 1939, Cecily G. and the Nine Monkeys.
Curious George.
That's correct.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
It was the first thing that popped my head, but I was like, is that old enough?
I thought it was going to be apparently a trick question. It's like, it's Cecily G.
Terry, what team's fans were inspired by the Rally Monkey?
The heck is a Rally Monkey?
I know you don't know what this is, but there's a sports team in America that has a Rally Monkey, which is basically like a sock puppet monkey.
Oh.
And they like wave it around.
But what team?
What sports team is that?
Oh, Lord.
Can you give them the sport at least?
Yeah. Is it basketball?
No, it's baseball.
Oh, nope. Gave up. Is it the White Sox?
No, it's the Angels. It says the Anaheim Angels. They're not the Anaheim Angels anymore. They're the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Cody, Europe's only free-range monkeys are the Barbary apes, which live where?
Oh. Bulgaria.
Gibraltar. Sam, which character is most seriously injured by the winged monkeys in the film The Wizard of Oz?
The Straw Man. The Scarecrow.
That's correct.
Straw Man. No, Straw Man is not correct.
Well, I was about to say there's no such character, but then she fixed it. Okay, 4B, what did Pipsqueak the Marmoset captivate America by doing on November 2nd, 1979? I don't even have a guess. 79.
Something about science.
I'm going to say, like, running across the White House gardens.
Going to space.
Oh.
79?
No, not a Marmoset.
That would have been.
The answer is peeing on Johnny Carson.
Not
on my bingo card, bro.
Yeah, so close.
I will do the next one as well. What two people appear in the famous photo taken aboard the yacht Monkey Business in May 1987? A famous famous photo from the 80s on a yacht. I don't even have a guess. Gary Hart and Donna Rice. All right.
Who?
Super famous.
So close.
Don't know. Who was after me? Sam.
Yes.
What brightly colored monkey is the world's largest?
Orangutan?
The mandrill. Orangutan is an ape.
Is that the howler monkey? Because that's what I
know. It's the mandrill.
The blue face. But
is it nicknamed the howler?
Howler monkeys are small, aren't they?
I thought they were big. Maybe not.
Russet, as Claudia Winkleman once said. Cody, what power does the monkey's paw possess in the 1902 short story?
Grant's wishes.
I'll give it to you. Specifically, Grant's three wishes.
Ooh.
Hey, Terry, what South American monkey took its name from the order of Catholic friars its fur was thought to resemble?
Oh, what? Say it again.
What South American monkey took its name from the order of Catholic friars its fur was thought to resemble?
Do friars have fur?
Right.
This particular monkey's fur looks like a friar.
Oh, shit. No, I can only think baboon, then. But that's not right.
No, it's not. It's capuchin.
Yeah, okay.
Alex, what apparatus do monkeys use in the infinite monkey theorem thought experiment?
Another easy question.
I think you can get it. Infinite monkey theorem thought experiment. What apparatus do monkeys use?
Is it an abacus?
Close, kind of. It's a typewriter. Oh. It's the old, if you put like an infinite number of monkeys with an infinite number of typewriters, one of them will write Shakespeare.
Mm. Yep.
Huh. Did you guys know that?
Yeah.
I did not.
I've heard that before.
Me and Sam are on different layers of the internet. All right, that's
enough of this bullshit.
Related to monkeys, there's a song by the Storybots called Spider Monkeys, and my kids just realized that spider monkeys are real. And they were convinced they're not real. And now I know that they're just envisioning little monkeys that are in the shape of spiders.
Oh, no.
You should just show them a spider monkey.
Yeah, I was driving when we were listening to the song, so I could not.
They'll be even more confused because they're not spiders, but they're called spiders.
Or make Terry make them a bunch of spider monkey toys that are actually spiders made out of monkeys or whatever.
Spider jockey.
Spider made out of monkeys.
That could
That's
be really
not where
fun
I was
to
going.
Look at.
Eight-legged monkeys.
And like the monkey face still has eight eyes on it.
Oh gosh.
Alex, do the song.
No, not yet.
Oh my god.
So,
Oh jeez.
He actually did it. He actually did it.
I wanted to talk about this. So, during the show too, when they were moving the Shriek out of Unit... they had said that their security status was downgraded. Is that going to carry forward into the future then too? Like they're not going to have all of their funding, or do you think they got it back?
I don't know. I don't even know why that container was on the platform. Like, was there a reason for that?
Well, they were going to
because they got their funding or they got their status revoked, so it was being taken somewhere else because they were no longer highly classified enough to be able to hold it.
Who was going to take it?
The entire reason for all of that bullshit was just to get the Shriek on the platform so they could use it in the last scene.
Yeah.
Can someone remake this whole episode with Shrek though?
No.
Yeah. No.
Okay, I'm guessing all the bullshit they say at the end about them trending and like looking positive means it was all fixed.
Oh, okay.
Instead of the Shriek coming against the glass, it's just Shrek slowly sticking his head up.
All right, we're
he just goes loving. He just slams up against and goes donkey.
Terry, this is all your fault.
I'm so sorry.
Why?
I didn't get to bring any of this up.
It's not even that the thing you asked was dumb. It's that you said it wrong.
it was a terrible name for the thing anyway.
The obvious answer to your question is we don't know, and we'll see in three episodes when they come back.
I feel like you know the answer to a lot of stuff, so I was testing it.
I can guess. But that's what TV's for. You watch it, you experience it, your questions get answered, and if they don't, then you
hold on to them deeply.
Go on to Reddit and complain about the way Bella Ramsey looks. Oh man, the Last of Us subreddit is so hateful.
Extremely toxic.
Yikes. Oh no.
Hey, anyway, Alex, do the fucking song. Please.
End this already.
This has been Married to Who, our podcast on Lucky Day. If you'd like to participate with us, you can do so by following us on Twitter at Married to Who Pod, or on Instagram Married to Who, or on Blue Sky Married to Who. On behalf of myself, Jake, Cody, Sam, Alex, Jill, somewhere out there, and Terry, thank you so much for listening. Please join us next time for the story and the engine.
Be-do-do.